Welcome to Digging Deeper, a podcast of Christ Church, South Philadelphia. In this podcast, we seek to equip our members to live out their faith in the everyday stuff of life. I'm Matt.
And I'm Jeff.
We are pastors at Christ Church. Welcome to episode 16.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Jeff, how was your holiday weekend?
It's good, man, but I just need to address this right up front. I still have these bad allergies.
Oh, yeah.
And so... Mm. If everyone listens, I'm okay. Like, I'm sure it's not COVID-19 or anything like that. Yeah. Like, you know, but if I sound nasally, man, I can't kick this. So anyone has any
suggestions?
It's
been like weeks, man. I heard you. Yeah. Sorry, man.
Yeah, his allergies have been bad. So
yeah,
but it's good. You went camping, right?
I did. Yeah, we went camping as a family, tent camping. So we really roughed it.
Yeah, good for you, man.
Yeah, and we survived. So this is the first time we went on the Sovereign Grace Church camping trip when I think Jenna was like 2 or something. So wow. That was like 10 years ago. So it's been 10 years, and Jess has been asking me for like 10 years, we should go camping. Like,
your wife's been pushing you for it.
She has, yeah. And wow. I've continually kind of just given her like the stiff arm, like, no, not really. you know, I'd prefer to be in a bed. But yeah, it was great. Yeah, it was... You know, second morning I woke up with a bee like flying in my face. So that wasn't like
fun.
Yeah, wasn't the best way to get woken up. But yeah, did a little fishing, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you eat what you caught?
We did not catch anything. yeah. But it was, you know,
food.
Yeah, we were up upper Bucks County. There's this lake called Lake Nockamixon. And I mean, it's like this 2 mile lake, like, with, you know, sailboats were out on it, all kinds of people kayaking, just beautiful. I mean, beautiful weather. Yeah, so it was fun just to even just be out there, even though we didn't catch anything. But
it's great.
I learned I YouTubed how to tie a fishing knot. So
okay.
Yeah, so felt like took a step in the right direction of like
cool.
Learning how to fish there.
Cool, man. Good
so,
for you.
Yeah, that was good. How about you? Do you barbecue? You get to?
Yeah, we spent some time with my family, so we were we didn't do any barbecuing. No, that's not true. We did on Sunday. I didn't do any barbecuing. Someone else did the grill, but yeah, had some grilled chicken, so that was good, and Chinese food on Saturday.
Nice.
So not exactly.
but there's never not a good time for Chinese food.
Absolutely, totally agree with that.
Yeah, what's a favorite Chinese dish for you?
Well, it depends from the place, but
okay.
But there's this place in which we found out is actually they shut down for COVID-19, which I couldn't believe. I was like, this is like Chinese restaurants were like made. This is like their Super Bowl,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
like it's like takeout.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, absolutely.
So I don't really understand what's going on there, but there was this place called King's Palace in Marlton, not on Route 73, but on Route 70. Big
okay.
difference.
King's Palace.
And
okay.
King's Palace in Marlton, and it's just, or is it King Wong?
King Wong.
King
Wong. That's the spot, man, on 70, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, King Wong. King Wong on 70, orange beef, Alice World.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I've ever had orange beef.
Dude.
I'm like a General So's.
Nah, thick slice. I mean, General So's dude, too, yeah. But yeah, his orange beef is
okay, King Wong,
Alice
yep.
World.
That was our spot in Marlton.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, very cool. Well, you know, to dive into the message, you started out with this illustration. It was kind of controversial, right? You mentioned dogs and cats and, you know, basically how dogs are better than cats. And
no, I didn't say better. I said they view the world differently.
They view, okay.
So,
yeah.
I mean, not to steal your thunder. Go ahead.
No. I was just wondering, did you receive any hate mail after you?
I did it because I think that I talked to a couple of people who have cats and have dogs. And what I think I really said is that I was not saying one's better than the other.
They view
the world very differently. And I think even cat owners would acknowledge
they
that.
Agreed with that.
Like
okay.
Dogs. I mean, you have both, man, right? Like,
I got both, yeah.
Doesn't your dog like think of you way different than your cat thinks of you? They
That's
probably
true.
Both love
yeah.
you in their own way, but
yeah,
you exist to serve your cats. Your dog lives to please you, right?
True. Yeah, no, yeah, okay. I agree with that. Okay,
okay,
yeah.
So
I thought you threw in there somewhere like dogs are better.
No, I said I have a dog, so I'm biased.
Okay, okay, okay.
But it doesn't mean it's not true what I was about to say.
Yeah.
So I think I thread that needle, but you know maybe we'll get some hate mail after this. But
okay.
Yeah. So no, I mean yeah. I made it through unscathed.
Okay. Good. 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 Well, your first point is that, all your points, you had 3 points. If God is real, then, And the first point was, if God is real, then we need to change how we listen, right?
Right.
So any just thoughts on how to be a better listener in general?
Yeah, well, listener in general, listener to God?
Well, let's say both.
Okay. Well, I'll start with God. I think the point that I was making in the sermon is we listen to God not by trying to empty our mind, but filling our mind with his words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in order to listen, I guess it's true for both. In order to listen, you have to hear people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. So if you're talking to someone, a good way to be a better listener is to shut your mouth and use your ears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like try to understand what they're saying. So I guess that's actually, yeah, so that does work. I think one of the keys to communication and effective listening is not focusing on yourself being understood, but rather focusing on understanding the other person.
Mm, that's good.
So make it your goal not to be understood, but make it your goal to understand. And so if you're talking to someone and your goal is to understand them, that will make you a good listener. You'll ask questions, you'll draw them out, you'll be quiet when you should be,
mm-hmm.
you'll listen to them. Same thing with God's word. If we're not just trying like, hey, God, you should, you know, expect two things my way. No, if we come to God's word trying to understand what he's saying, like that'll allow us to listen to him. And so I think just really practically, you know, we need to fill ourselves with God's word. I mean, I think a growing, you know, look at any kind of data out there. The number one indicator of someone growing in their Christian faith is their time spent in God's word.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that's true across. I mean, I was, you know, I didn't make the stats, didn't make it into the service, but I had a sermon, but I have them all in my notes. And it's just, yeah. Again and again and again, that is the key spiritual indicator. Like, we cannot grow as Christians if we're not listening to God. We can't be listening to God if we're not reading his word.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think daily study of God's word, Jesus called the Bible our daily bread. And so I think that means we daily need to be eating of it. So I think filling our minds with God's word is absolutely crucial and something we should do on a daily basis. And then we should do it in other ways, too. Like, we obviously should do it, you know, that's why the importance of preaching God's word, being under the preaching of God's word, listening to that regularly, being part of a local church where you can get a steady, you know, diet of that, you know, reading good books that help you understand God's word better. But I think the big thing is, yeah, just being in God's word regularly is how we listen to God speak. Mm.
That's good. That's good. I think we live in this world of distraction, right?
Yeah.
Any thoughts on, you know, I mean, I think one of my issues is to listening well is being distracted, right?
Sure.
Any thoughts on how to fight that? How to, you know, just listen, just be people that listen better in general?
Yeah. I mean, I think, again, probably whether it's God's word or someone else, like, put your phone away.
Yeah.
So if you're having a conversation, here's a great solution for any married couple. Don't take your phone on date night. Or leave it in the car, or, leave it at home. Like, I think our phones are the constant distractor.
Yeah.
And I think you can't listen. Like, if I take my phone out, like, you see my phone's over here out of eyesight. If you walked in right now, Matt, and I kind of put my phone down here and it's buzzing and it buzzes, yeah, you know, every couple seconds, it seems like I'm now distracted from our pie. So I keep it out of sight,
yeah,
you know, out of away.
There's even studies that show if it's even on the table.
Yeah.
And what it communicates to other people.
Absolutely.
Is that, yeah.
It communicates that this conversation is good, but if I get interrupted in any moment, that's going to be more important.
Yeah.
So just, you know, which is just. So, and I think the same thing with God's word, like, don't have your phone around you when you're reading the Bible first thing in the morning. Yeah. I do think you should read first thing in the morning. Just have it like distractions away. And then, you know, other practical ways. So for me, I like to listen to sermons, and so I'll do that. Like, I can't, different people process in different ways. So I'm not someone who, like, I don't listen well just sitting down, you know. I listen better if I'm like moving around. So I'll turn a podcast on of a sermon and go, you know, is when I take my dog for a walk every morning. Mm.
That's interesting. So that's kind of your routine, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of my routine. Yeah. I wake up, I read the Bible, I pray, and then I take my dog for a walk.
Yeah. Mm.
And my kids wake up and all heck breaks loose. But, yeah. So, and that's another key too. I try to get quality time with God before my kids wake up because I want to spend quality time with them. Mm-hmm. So kids are a distraction as well. Now they're a different distraction. They're a good distraction, but like, you know, I'm going to try to have a quiet time with like, you know, I mean, just, you know, I hear so many parents get frustrated, like, oh, my kids are, I can't do this. Yeah. Don't try to fight that. Like, don't try to shush your kids and quiet your kids and just, you know, get your kids controlled or, you know, zap out their brains in front of a TV. Like, no, like enjoy your kids being kids. Maybe just need to get up earlier, you know? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you need to, you know, I know some people, their kids get up crack at dawn. Maybe you need to teach your kids to like stay in the room and learn how to play by themselves. Right. So like, either way, I think like once your kids are up and kind of with you, and once they're with you, I think you want to make sure you're doing that. And then we have family devotion. So obviously I'm spending time. It's a different listening because I'm listening. I'm reading God's word. I'm still being affected by it, but I'm doing it for the purpose now of teaching my, you know, teach my kids when I have a discussion about it and talking through it. So we do it, you know, we do that every morning too, because I want to model for them, you know, and I want them to kind of grow up. And I'm grateful that this is kind of how I grew up. Like I grew up, you know, with just a culture of like what you did in our household is you read the Bible the first thing when you woke up. So like, that's just a habit that I have that I'm so grateful for. And I want to instill that in my children as well.
Hmm. Good. It's good stuff, man. I just ordered off of Amazon, a lockbox for our phones, you know, just to, you know, has a little combination on it, but, you know, even as for, and not just for my, you know, my kids, you know, one of them has a phone, you know, there's different devices and things, but I'm telling my kids, like, this isn't just for you guys. This is for us too. Like, it's, you good. Know, we come home and all right, let's lock the phones down for a time just to fight distraction.
That's so good, man.
I know it's a challenge for all of us. As a kid, I was diagnosed with, I ever tell you I was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder as a kid?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I was. Huh. Now, I think they kind of rigged the test a little bit because they asked me a lot of questions really quick, and I didn't care to even, like, think about what they were asking me, and I kind of just said, like, huh? Like, what'd you ask? And they're like, okay, he got attention deficit, and that was kind of, you know.
Well, it's definitely one of the most overdiagnosed, and the studies have shown that.
Yeah, yeah.
But congratulations for overcoming that.
Thanks, man. I hear just that song, Overcomer, just played in my cool, man. Well, your second point, see where we're at on time here. Oh, we got plenty of time. Second point was about if God is real, then we need to change the way we pray.
Yeah.
You mentioned, you know, which is an example Jesus gives. So you tied back Ecclesiastes with Jesus, where he, you know, says, don't think you're going to be heard by your many words.
Right.
And I think, you know, as Christians, I guess it kind of led me on a train of thought, like, okay, I know that now. I've been a Christian for a while. And obviously the person you're preaching to, we have a big audience. There's, you know, people that come from many different, you know, especially I think in our South Philly culture here, we got people that come from a religious background,
sure,
but maybe not biblical, you know, religion.
Sure, right.
So some people think that they're heard for their many words, but just any, you know, any other traps you say we could, you know, I might be catching you cold here a little bit, but just that we could fall into, you know, as Christians that we think we're heard because of X, right? Like,
yeah.
Because of this is how this is why God's going to hear me.
Well, I mean, the first thing I know for myself is performance.
Yeah.
So God's going to hear me, you know, if I've read my Bible this morning. If I've not read my Bible this morning, God's not going to hear my prayer the same way. Or if I've been, you know, pure with my eyes, or if I've not been pure with my eyes, or if I've been kind and patient towards my family, or if I, you know, he'll hear me, but if I got angry and lost my temper, he won't. And so I think just very much based upon our performance,
yeah,
I think can be a big trap. And that's why something that, you know, and I know I've said in different contexts, but like in many ways, I think prayer is an experience of the gospel, because what does Hebrews say? Like, we come before the throne of grace boldly, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So every time we pray, we're not praying based upon our performance. We're praying based upon His.
Hmm.
Because based upon our performance, even our righteousness is filthy rags, chock full of sin. And so, you know, if we ever thought that we were righteous enough to appear before God, then, you know, we don't understand who God is.
Yeah.
And so the only way, you know, anyone could ever have a prayer heard is if, you know, Christ is the one who brings us to the throne of grace, clothed in his righteousness, not our own. And so I think that is a trap, is performance. And so I think we can combat that with Christ. I think another trap is, I think this isn't, again, isn't necessarily related to the sermon, but just prayer in general. I think another trap for prayer is that it's something that we talk a lot about. But I think this kind of gets to the last point. We don't always follow through on. So I feel like, hey, I'll pray for you is a great way to get out of a conversation for a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Oh, I'll pray for you about that. Yeah. Or you're in my thoughts and prayers. I mean, I'm just gonna say that. Like, how much is that? Like, are you actually praying
for
that person? For
him? Yeah.
You know, I think that's a major trap. When it comes for prayer, is that we talk a lot about it but don't do it. But for me, I feel like that's an unrealized opportunity. Like, man, if Christians start praying for all the people that they say they're gonna pray for, like, wow, what God could actually start doing through mm-hmm. the power of prayer.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting.
I'm not sure where you wanted to go with that, but
yeah, no, that is you just kind of like opened up a thought. Like, I'd love. Well, actually, I don't know if I'd love it if like the Lord like unveiled like every Christian's prayer life. We actually got to see like how we all like what would we find? You know, hey, I'll pray for you. We talk a lot about praying, but yeah, like I don't know. It always interests me. You know what? You know, you can tell a lot about a person by their prayer life.
Absolutely.
So. It could be a scary thought if the Lord revealed.
And listen,
if
someone, I want immediately, because I also think it's easy for prayer to feel like something we should do more of and immediately feel guilty that you're not doing enough of. So I think you mentioned prayer, and a lot of Christians are going to feel guilty. And so I think my just quick pastoral aside on that would be, the difference between guilt and conviction is movement. And so I think we need to stop feeling bad that we don't pray enough and start taking moves to pray more. So we can either sit there and be like, oh, I don't pray enough, and just wallow in that and not do it, or we could be like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna try to pray for 5 minutes tomorrow, and just take one small little tangible step, believing in the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do that, right? And the Holy Spirit's present and needed for those mundane things. Like, we need God to give us focus to even pray for 5 minutes. We can't do anything without the Lord. And so, just any Christian who's like, oh man, you know, Matt wants to see my prayer life, he wouldn't like that. Let me say, listen, Jesus still loves you. You're not accepted before God based upon your prayer life. But, like, God wants you to experience a richer prayer life. And so don't be guilty, but be convicted. And my encouragement would be to, just take one small tangible step fueled by the Holy Spirit to change and be more faithful in prayer.
Mm, that's good. Yeah, I have that picture of the father, the prodigal father, you know,
yep.
Where the son's rehearsing and he's just feels so guilty, and you know, he wants to earn back the father, and the father's just like, no, I'm here, you know. So
right.
I just think of, yeah, we failed, just get the gospel around it and just
right.
dive back in,
right?
You know,
absolutely.
Or else it could be a form of, okay, now I got to earn God's favor
right,
back
right,
with
right, right,
you know, my sorrowfulness. Cool, man. Well, third point, kind of moving through the message here, but you talked about people making commitments for God. So how your third point was, if God is real, then we need to change the way we, is it make commitments?
Yeah.
Or yeah. How do, I feel like that's a kind of a little bit of a tricky topic. Some people get kind of caught up in it. There's the, and I don't know if this is a college question or if this is like just like what is God's will for my life, you know,
right,
what
right.
do I but how do we know when God is calling us to make a commitment for him? I feel like a lot of people can just start to like get paralyzed and overanalyze things, and is God calling me this, he called me that, what
I mean, I think I got into this a little bit in the sermon, and I got into it even more in the Q&A we did afterwards. I think that, you know, whenever you think about calling, I think there's probably three criteria I would think through. And the first would be just scripture. And so what does scripture say? You know, God's not going to call you to do something that's contrary to scripture. And you'd be surprised how many times people feel, you know, like question about that. Right. Yep. So I mentioned college, like one of the common things I heard in college, you know, someone's like, oh, should I be with this person or not? It's like, well, if they're not helping you grow in godliness, like if they're not helping you pursue the Lord, like the Bible's pretty clear. No, you shouldn't, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Like your relationship with God's your most important relationship. And so don't be with someone who's going to drag you away from him. Be with someone who's going to push you forward towards him. So bad company corrupts good morals. So I think like the Bible is really, really clear on the kind of people that we should, you know, be dating and have close relationships with. Mm-hmm. So like you don't need to, you know, just go to scripture. Like God's not calling you to do that. But if it's like, man, you know, is God calling me to be, I think back for me, like I came out of, school, I had a couple different job offers. And so like, how do you determine which job offer? They're all, you know, from scripture, like they're all companies, like there was no company that was like breaking biblical commands or like doing anything. So, mm-hmm. So I think scripture's gotta be the first test. And yeah. Then I think the second test would be, honestly, internal desire. And I do think that God speaks through our desires. He speaks mm-hmm. through our passions, you know, he speaks through, you know, things that we want to do. I mean, again, going back to the relationship thing, someone's like, I'm not really, you know, sure if you marry this person. I'm like, well, do you want to like what's yep. your desire? Like, mm-hmm. do you desire this person? Like, do you enjoy being around them? Like, yeah. I think, you know,
yeah, that's, I think of the person, well, God's going to call me to Africa, you know, and I hate, you know, insects or, you know, just, he's going to call me out into the rainforest on the mission field. It's like, no, there's going to be a certain desire
right.
there.
You're going to have a desire for it. Right. Yeah. Right. So like, I think about even moving to the city, right? I grew up in the suburbs, even urban context was nothing that, you know, I ever really thought about, but I had a desire to plant a church in a place that was on church where there was very few Christians. Obviously, you know, the city jumped on the map, but I didn't just immediately go there. I started to walk around the city. I started spending time in the city. I started getting to know people from the city. And through that, God created a desire in my heart. Mm-hmm. So I think scripture, internal desire, and then the last thing, and I did hit this on a sermon, I want to hit it again because I think this is actually the one that Christians, we're probably best at internal desire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think people are like, oh, God told me to do this. Okay, you know, and that's usually it. It's like, well, no, what does God's word say? Two, you know, is a desire. And then three was community and getting input, you know. And I said this on the Q&A after the sermon, but Proverbs 18:1 says a fool isolates himself and breaks out against all sound judgment. So you're being a fool if you're making decisions in isolation. Like mm-hmm. you're not practicing sound judgment. Part of practicing sound judgment is recognizing that you don't have all the information you need in order to make the decision that's going to honor God.
Yeah.
God has created us to be dependent on community.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's a person who exists in community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so he's incomplete without the Trinity. The same way we're incomplete, it's not good for man to be alone. That's not just a statement about marriage. That's a statement about our, here's a big word, ontology, like our state of being.
Yeah.
And so we all need people in our lives, you know, multitude of counselors, the Bible. I mean, just read the Proverbs. That comes up at least 12 different times. So, yeah. So I think having kind of external affirmation so is really important. You know, and I just remember different people I had to walk through, like they had good godly desire. They wanted to be a pastor. And I was like, okay, man, let's pray about this. Let's look at this. And the reality is they couldn't teach. Like, you know, they didn't make much sense. They weren't good communicators. They had good hearts, but they were, you know, it's just like, well, bro, like we gave you a couple opportunities. We tried to help you out here. But at the end of the day, God's probably not calling you to be a preacher if you can't preach. And so I think like just having the self-awareness to recognize that, you know, this is totally countercultural. Cultural say, hey, pursue your dream. Don't care what anyone else says.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to burn yourself out and spend a lot of time and energy in doing something that you know, you can't do. So, and I think who you get input from matters mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen that where yeah. somebody goes and they kind of, yeah. check off the input box in a sense, right. Like, hey, well, I went and I, you know, there was safety and a multitude of counselors. I asked this person and this person. It's like, well,
yeah,
should you have asked those people? You know, they were all telling me to do this.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Like if your mom is the only person who thinks you're good at something, like that, you know, probably not the best judge of your abilities, you know? So if like, you know, your family, like, oh yeah, you'll be awesome at this. And it's like, well, you know, No, get people that you know are going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think that's crucial. And so sometimes I think like, hey, who are you scared to ask? Mm-hmm. Who are you scared to ask?
Yeah.
That's probably a person you should ask.
Yeah, you want to ask people because, and I'm just thinking of, you know, for me, so you mentioned the pastoral calling thing. You know,
right.
That was like a 20-year journey for me.
Right.
But it was like some people you'll get like, real like they're just wired to just give you encouraging feedback no matter what, kind of like your mom,
right.
So it's like, well, yeah, those people, but you know, I heard that other guy who preached and, you know, didn't do so well, and they said he was great too, you know, like, so it's
right.
Like, you know, yeah, so I guess that's the person who you'd be afraid to ask because you feel like they would give you honest,
the person is going to give
feedback.
You honest feedback and going to say like, you know. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, like, the missionary thing, and I see a lot, too, like, a good desire. But it's like, yeah, bro, you know, there could be a variety of reasons why it's not the right call for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think way too many, I mean, the burnout rate of missionaries is horrendous and scary. And I think that, I mean, just not to go off the spot, I think the church has done a major disservice because we champion, oh, missions, like, they're the Navy SEALs without putting people through boot camp to get them ready.
Yeah.
And so it'd be like, you know, me watching a commercial about the Navy SEALs and then running out and going on a mission with Navy SEAL Team 6. It's like, of course I'm going to die.
Yeah.
But that's what we do with missionaries. Like, oh, you have a desire? Great. Here's your rifle. Go get it, you know? And so, there could be a variety of reasons why you shouldn't go on the mission field.
Yeah. And I think that's ministry in general, right? You know, we can, you know, full-time ministry, quote-unquote, we can glorify when it's like, no, there's godly vocations, the person that's called to work in a restaurant, the person that's called to, you know,
absolutely.
These are all callings from God. That
absolutely.
Yeah.
We need Christian bankers, we need Christian bakers, we need Christian bicycle shop, you know, a bicycle shop open. Like, we need Christians in every, if we want to see the gospel permeate every part of culture, then we need Christians in every part of culture. This is something I really grappled with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was having a lot of success in my career, you know, my sales career. And I was like, should I just really, really pursue this? You know, in many ways, I think pastors sometimes feel like kind of glamorize that, or missionaries that glamorize that. I think you're actually taking yourself off the front lines in some ways.
Yeah. Pastors are supposed to equip the people that are
exactly
in the front lines.
Exactly. Yeah. I see myself now as more someone who's in charge of the supply chain, not who's actually on. I mean, as a person, I'm on the front. I mean, I'm living on my block.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, doing stuff like, you know, in my personal life. But as far as vocationally, my vocation is not a mission field anymore. Because, I mean, hopefully everyone on church staff is a Christian already. So, so my, you know, that's not a mission field anymore. So anyways, I think that, we got off track there, but just the importance of having community input, I think is often overlooked. To people's own detriment.
That's good. Real quick, I know we're up against it. Just some categories. So I think this is so important, what you're talking about, and just getting safety in a multitude of counselors, getting input. You know, I remember Paul Tripp said it well, and it stuck with me, that our self-perception can be like a carnival mirror, right?
Yeah.
It's just distorted. You know, I remember the first time getting feedback, and actually as pursuing pastoral ministry, and it was one, you know, I preached to a bunch of guys, and they, you know, they gave me feedback, and I thought it was like they were talking about someone different. You know, it was just like, wow, that's how you guys perceive me. It's just, we need others to help us see ourselves accurately. But just from as far as an input standpoint, any categories, like, you know, I think of that people generally go at it alone, right? Like, I think of people, one of the categories that jumps to mind is people, like, moving or taking a job somewhere. Like, any categories you think, like, you know what, just historically the church hasn't done a good job of bringing in others' input for these big life decisions.
Yeah. Well, I think it's usually the biggest decisions you'll make in life are the ones that I see people getting the most least amount of input on.
Yeah.
Relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think who you date, who you marry. Don't see many people asking for things there, but my goodness, there's nothing, you know, good relationship can make you, a bad one can break you. And so, you know, you need input there. So I think relationships, I think moving, where you live. I think people, I mean, how many times have we had, oh, this person's moving, and we find out like 24 hours before they are, it's like, what the, you know, really? So I think, like, you know, that's a major life decision, that like where you're at makes a major difference to, it's going to make a major difference in your life. And I think people way undervalue, roots and the importance of roots. It's a separate conversation, but you just look at that historically, sociologically, you look at that in the biological world, like you can't, trees don't thrive if they're uprooted and replanted and uprooted and replanted, right? Like in the same way we don't either. So, that's why, yeah, that's why military families have so many challenges that they do, because the military does them a real disservice by moving them around. So anyway, so I think just, yeah, where relationships, where you're going to live. And honestly, the other one, this is probably even one of the scariest things that we can talk about, but is finances. And people don't get input on how they handle their finances. And so their finances are a wreck, you know, and they have no problem asking for help as far as like you loaning them money, but they don't want to ask for your help to actually put together a budget, you know? And so that's why for us as a church, like we don't give out money without looking at a budget because we don't want to just give a handout. We want to truly help. And so, but that's super scary. I know it's super scary for people, you know, it feels very vulnerable and very intimate. And yet Jesus said, where our treasure is, there our heart is. And so few things reflect our values more than our budgets. And so I think like, man, like if you don't have other people speaking into your budget, and maybe you don't have like a, I'm not talking like having like a tangible budget. Like some people do, some people don't. But as far as how you spend your money and convictions about money and accountability for that, you know, I think Christians do a major disservice without doing that. And so, and probably last thing would be vocationally, you know, what you do with your job. And so how you think through that, you know, which can tie into moving, tie into different things. But so I think, yeah, how you think about where you work. Again, just see so many people get themselves in a corner because they took a job. And then, yeah, the job dramatically altered how they were able to handle life. And it's like, yeah, it probably would be good to get some people talking to you about that and thinking through that with you.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it wasn't the call to move or to do these things, you know, and any of those things, it might be the right thing, but yeah, getting just getting the input of others and praying through it, and there's safety in that. Cool, man. Well, as we draw things to a close here, anything coming up this weekend or
So our service is coming up, and then we've got small groups happening all this week. People are hearing this podcast midweek, but I'm really excited next week. We've got our Bible studies kind of kicking off. So I think that's going to be great. That's all online. So ChristChurchSouthPhilly.org. You can look up when the different Bible studies are. You can sign up for them. I'm super excited about how God's going to use that in the life of our church. So, yeah, worship service at 10. Kids church on Saturday at 10 a.m., which has been awesome. Pastor C has been absolutely killing it with that. So
you got any of this? I want to watch this. Do you got this recorded or anything?
No, actually, I think Steve has been recording it, so we can send it out maybe to parents who missed it. But yeah, man, we could send you the Zoom link.
I mean, I've been hearing good things about it, but you know, great. My kids are a little older.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, a little too old for kids' church. But no, it's been great, man. So that's 10 a.m. on Saturday. Again, you can find that information online, and then service on Sunday, and then next week we got our Bible studies. So yeah, real excited about all that.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Always love to hear from you, Jeff or Matt at ChristChurchSouthPhilly.org. And may God bless you all.